Welcome back, gang, to Press Row. It is day one, AB, after Butch. That's the way we're going to refer to it here. November 13th, the day that the Tennessee fan base was set free. With that in mind, I can't tell you how many questions I have for this guy because he knows Tennessee football better than just about anybody I know. Wes Rucker from 247 Sports joining us. Wes, my man, how crazy has the last 24 hours been for you?
They've been pretty crazy, Jay. When we got the news or started hearing that this was going to happen, this was going to go down this way, another former TFPer for life, Patrick Brown, he and I were in the car together in Southern Illinois driving amidst a bunch of about, I don't know, let's say about 7 million acres of corn. And we heard the news, and then while we're driving down the interstates, you know, I-70, you know, trying to get to, you know, then I-24 or I-40, and we're riding this and trying to, and I finally got back to Knoxville. We got there right after the John Curry press conference, so then we immediately go do a Facebook Live, you know, kind of a camera thing where we're talking about it, and here we are. I mean, this is it would be crazy anywhere else, but in Tennessee, it's just Monday.
Well, and along those lines, I think my biggest question for you is, do you think if Butch had won against Missouri, played LSU close, and beat Vanderbilt to get to 6-6, do you think Curry would have fired him?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that decision had been made beforehand. Tennessee wanted to play out the string for the end of the season, but we've been reporting this for a few weeks now. It was done. Now, what I think John Curry wanted was the shortest time possible with an interim head coach in charge, and he didn't want this to happen where you've got 2 weeks left in the season and you've got an interim head coach there and it's awkward and people are trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes and who you're looking at for a new coach and, they're, you know, when you probably can't realistically hire someone for at least a couple of weeks. He didn't want to be in that position because when you're in that position, people start saying, oh, Tennessee's lost. It doesn't know what it's doing again. It's not going to get a good coach. That whole narrative starts to kick because the longer people wait and fester, the worse things get. And that they wanted to avoid that. But after that train wreck, Saturday night in Columbia, I don't think they had a choice.
And I want to ask directly about that. And I don't really like to use the word quit. Is that as bad as you've seen Tennessee effort-wise and result-wise? And you've been doing this a long time, Wes. That was pretty bad, right?
It was, and it's actually funny that you're asking that because when y'all called, we're recording our own podcast now, and I hit pause on it so we could go ahead and get to this interview, and that's sort of what we've been talking about is, did Tennessee quit in that game? And I think the answer is no. I don't think Tennessee quit in that game. The problem is when you play at the SEC level, you've got to play at such a high level. You know, there is no keep it out of the red with the RPMs. You got to live in the red. And I think, you know, things finally got to a point Saturday night where they kept playing hard, but they didn't have that kind of extra 10 or 20% that you need. And I think the will to play hard just kind of got stepped out of them. I don't think they quit because I was down there on the field and I saw it, but they weren't playing at the same level. There's no question about that.
Friends, you're listening to our good buddy and Tennessee football guru, Wes Rucker of 247 Sports right here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Wes, we had you on the show maybe 7 to 10 days ago, and I think it was David. He asked you about, you know, which names are you hearing if a move was going to be made. And at that point, Butch Jones was still the head coach. And I think you said that you kind of have a way of dealing with these type of things where you don't like to discuss candidates. But I believe that you don't like to discuss candidates when somebody still currently has the job. You knew this question was coming. What are you sort of hearing on that end right now? I mean, we're hearing everything from John Gruden to Chip Kelly to a bunch of other people. What does somebody that knows the ins and outs of this program have to say on that question?
Well, Tennessee's kicking the tires on John Gruden, and he's letting the tires be kicked. So let's not mess around about that. That's the truth. He's got a lot of ties to East Tennessee, you know, with his wife. His son's currently a student at the University of Tennessee. He's got a lot of love for the place. There is that possibility. I'm not going to say 0%. Now, I've seen this before. I've kind of read this book and its sequel and its other sequel. So I got a feeling this is going to end the same way, and they're not going to get John Gruden. But that's something that they're going to try for, and they should, quite frankly. And what I said in the last coaching search and this was about 2 or 3 days into the previous coaching search 5 years ago, there was like a clear Butch Jones line there where Tennessee knew that it could get Butch Jones and it wanted to go kick the tires on some bigger names and see if it could get them, you know, the Charlie Strongs and, you know, the Grudens and those types. And when they struck out on those, they went back and they were able to pluck Butch Jones and keep him from going to Colorado. So, you know, I think if you're Tennessee now, with the way your program is, with the talent you have there, I think you need to set a Dan Mullen line. And I think that if you can get him, that's a win. That's a major upgrade. That's a good football coach. He'll cost a lot of money, but he would take the job. He's tried to get the job before. I think you set the line there, and then you go look at the other guys, and you go see if you can get one of those guys to listen. So that's kind of a Scott Frost, Dan Mullen line. That's where I would kind of set it if I were Tennessee. But obviously I'm not the one running the search. And I do think it's interesting that John Curry is not getting a search firm. That to me says he is either hopelessly naive or he knows exactly who he can get. So I guess time will tell on that here in a few weeks.
Yeah, I really like what you had to say there. I tend to agree. You know, you set your standards at a Mullen or somebody in whatever range you're looking at, and then you try to shoot up from there. But you got to set a baseline. I really like that. I'm not doing the hiring either, but I liked your answer. We had a caller earlier in the program, and clearly it was on the Butch Jones topic. But you look at where Tennessee football and where the athletic program has been in the last handful of years. 1A on the list right now is hiring a football coach, but this caller had something to say about the administration and just the way things are done up there. Whether you've been there for a year like John Curry, actually under 5 years or 10 years, that everybody really needs to look at themselves in the mirror, get somebody in there that's a leader and look at themselves in the mirror and just try to do things differently. Do you think that this hiring and sort of this hiring process and where the program goes from here is more than just hiring a football coach?
I agree with that. I think that's a fair point. And I think, you know, if you're Tennessee, you're sitting around here now, you're on another coaching search, and you got to look in the mirror and you got to say, what kind of program do we want to be? If you're Tennessee, that should be question number one. You look in the mirror and you say, what does Tennessee football mean and what should it mean? And they got to go find somebody who appreciates that, who understands that, and who can help them reach that point. And, you know, for years covering Tennessee, it was like everybody knew everybody. You know, you had kind of Philip Fulmer and as the dad, and you had Pat Summitt as the mom, and you had, you know, Doug Dickey, you know, as the kind of the granddad. So everybody knew everybody, and everybody knew what their role was, and they all got along, and it was fine.
Now, Wes,
scramble mode. Since.
Wes, that makes Johnny Majors the drunk uncle, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Everybody's like, hey, look,
it's Johnny Majors. He's wearing those funny pants. Yeah,
hey, Johnny, how you doing? Oh, absolutely. It does. But I guess the point there was that you knew everybody there and you had sort of an established order. And since then, they've just kind of been scrambling the chairs trying to figure out who's going to run this thing. What's it going to be? You know, you got the administration, new presidents, because Joe Johnson played a huge part in all that when he was president at UT. And now you've got, you know, presidents and chancellors that people are kind of wishy-washy about. And so Tennessee has got to get in a room. The people who run the university, including the athletic department, they need to get together in a room and they need to say, what kind of program, what kind of place do we want this to be? And then they have to accept whatever answer they get there and then go find someone who agrees with that. You have to get everybody on the same page and you have to get people pushing toward the same end. And if you don't have that, you are lost. You're just going to be paddling there and see, and no one's going to be around you. So Tennessee does have to get some things cleaned up behind the scenes. And I think bringing in a guy like Curry, who had been around the administration, a guy who's not afraid to stick his neck out and make a decision, I don't mind that. I think that was a fine hire. So now it's okay. This is not where he wanted to be, having to get a new football coach in first year, because that starts the clock on his, you know, career, basically. So we'll see what they do now. But they do need to be organized about this, and I'm fascinated to see if they really are, because the bar is set at, like, that whole Alabama level now. And you see where Georgia's going. You see where places like Auburn is. You see what's gone on with Clemson recently. That's where the bar is. If you're Tennessee and you want to be elite, you want to be a big boy, you got to go out there and act like a big boy. You don't just get your place every year at the adults' table at Thanksgiving if you start acting like a kid. You start acting like a kid, you go sit with the kids at Thanksgiving. And that's what Tennessee's got to decide. What's it going to be right?
Well, I got a couple of more, and we're kind of pushing time. A yes or no with a sentence or two explainer. Do you think the way Butch Jones flamed out going and having success at a group of five, does that work against Scott Frost for this job?
No, because I think that comes down to the personality. I mean, I think Butch Jones' personality and thin skin and worrying about the wrong things was the problem there. If you get someone who doesn't have those kind of personality traits, he'll be all right.
Let me ask you this. How many stories are about to come out, whether it's Butch berating an offensive lineman, whether it's that awful story that the Orlando Sentinel put out late last night about Butch calling a recruit and telling him to find somewhere else? I stand by you. I know you're a true journalist at heart. You have done some great things on that beat, whether it's Kellen Winslow, whether it's working in Chattanooga or working for the website. You are a pro's pro, and you have said this from the beginning. We're going to see Butch Jones's true colors in the next couple of weeks, aren't we?
We are. And if he's smart, he'll just kind of keep his mouth shut and learn from his mistakes and go on and be a better football coach. I don't want to say a better person. I'm not going to judge, but a more effective football coach and more effective leader. Those are things that are going to be stories that come out. I don't want to, go down that road. I think Tennessee doesn't need to go down that road. But there will be some people who have ammunition, and they're going to use it because they've been holding it back for whatever reason, and now they're going to go with it. I'm not going to change what I report. I've said the same thing that I said before. Tennessee needed to go in a different direction if it wanted to win 9, 10, 11 games consistently. He wasn't the guy that was going to do that. So my opinion and stance on all this won't change, but you will see other people who will start dragging out stories, and some of them are ugly stories, and I know some of them are true. So I think the best thing for Tennessee to do is just move on. Just say, thank you for your time, thanks for fixing the roster, and move on. And after that, you start picking up the pieces. But do I think it'll go that way? I don't know. And knowing Butch Jones and how spiteful and vengeful he can be as a person,
right,
and how things stick with him and get under his skin, I think that could be an issue.
Finally, with Wes Rucker here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, going back to the hire, Wes, and we'll end it here. Over under 2 weeks on this thing getting done?
I'll say slightly over because the conference championship games are 3 weeks from now.
Gotcha.
Wes, my man, thank you as always. I know it's a crazy time, and thank you for making time for us because you're a true pros pro, and I am not afraid, no matter who says what on social media, to call you my friend.
You're my friend too, Jay, and a great former boss, and I will end it with this. TRP for life!
That a boy! That's Wes Rucker on the Hay. Follow him on social media if you want to know what's going up in Knoxville because there's a lot going on. We'll be back. We'll get back to the hotline when we come back. ESPN 105.1 The Zone.